This episode of Developing Courage is brought to you by LearningRx. LearningRx helps struggling students change their brains through intense one-on-one training. LearningRx strengthens the cognitive skills students need to think faster, learn easier, read better, and improve their attention. And that means better performance in the classroom. Train the brain, get smarter with LearningRx.
Welcome back to Developing Courage. I am Lauren Thomas.
I'm Kara Vonderheide.
And we are excited to be with you all today. Our podcast today is brought to you by LearningRx. LearningRx is a learning organization that is nationwide, and it is designed for students aged 6 to 19 that are struggling with reading, concentration, or keeping up with assignments. However, they have helped people up to age 85.
Yeah, and when Michelle Wright came to talk to us about LearningRx, she also mentioned seeing some preschoolers, so maybe even before age six. Right now, LearningRx is offering a special deal to our listeners. If you call the Louisville locations of LearningRx and use the promotional code PODCAST, they will give you $100 off a cognitive assessment. So that's a really good deal. You can call them in Louisville or go to learningrx.com and click through to the Louisville locations to see what they're all about.
We are really excited about what we are starting to do here at Developing Courage. Kara and I have been brainstorming how to expand this idea, and one of the things that we came up with was to start traveling to different places and assessing them using our clinical expertise for families with special needs. So our mission at this point is to provide families with children with special needs a comprehensive review of the functional environment and attractions at different resorts and entertainment to allow them to make wise decisions and have an action plan to ensure the best possible stay. And we just got back from French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana. They were gracious enough to allow us to come up there and stay overnight. And we really got a great look at their facility and are excited about our review.
Yeah, the whole staff was incredibly helpful in getting us what we needed to get, the information that we needed to get, and unlocking doors that we wanted to see behind and kind of getting a firsthand look at each part of the resort on behalf of families. So we have some really, really good ideas to share with you today. Do us a favor. You know, on each podcast that we have, you can leave a comment. And since this is still an idea for us that in the business world, you would say, you know, we're still validating this idea, meaning we really need a lot of feedback from you guys. So we want to challenge every person listening today to go back after you've listened to this podcast, whether you plan to visit French Lick or not, and leave us a comment on, you know, underneath where the podcast plays on our website. We'd like to know, you know, is this an idea that you want to see more of? What places would you like for us to go review next? We've already gotten some positive feedback about people who are excited about us going to French Lick. So if there's someplace else that you'd like for us to go review ahead of time to help you make your plan, let us know what that is. Or if you listen to this podcast today and you think, oh, that was pretty good. You did a pretty good review, but I'd like to know more about something else that we didn't cover, please let us know that in the comments, and we sure would appreciate your feedback as we continue to develop this idea.
Okay, so when Kara and I went up to French Lick, we decided we needed a very systematic approach to looking at the facility, one that we can maybe carry over to other places so that there's a standardized way that we are looking at the places that we're looking at. So we came up with some categories that we used at French Lick. This is an ever-evolving list because this is a pretty brand new idea for us. But we came up with some idea of how we needed to systematically look at the places we went to.
Okay, the first category we're going to cover is parking, because you have to get in the door no matter where you go. So we got a copy of the map of French Lick Resort. And as you listen to the podcast, if you would like to visually follow along with where we're going and what we're talking about, that might be a good idea so you get a layout. We had not ever been to French Lick before, so this was all new navigation for us. And we did go to, if you've never been there before, there are kind of two sides to it. There's French Lick Resort, And then there is kind of a sister hotel called West Baden that's a little bit down the road. So we want to be clear when we're talking about parking and approach to the front door that we did go to the French Lick Resort side of that. So we pulled up into the parking lot. The parking that was out front of the hotel, I would say not too many spaces.
Not too many spaces, and also even more limited because of all the snow that has fallen. So a lot of the spaces were filled up with snow.
Yes. We have really been dumped on here in the Midwest. So it's true that, you know, when they shoveled the parking lot, certain spaces were covered up by the piles of snow that had been shoveled aside. And even though there weren't too many spaces out in front of the hotel, they do have a parking garage that's to your right over towards the casino side. So there is plenty of parking. It's just not going to necessarily be right by the front door if you need an accessible space or, you know, to get right to the door. So I would plan on bringing a tip for the valet. There was great valet service, and they will take your car and move it to the parking garage. But we're kind of frugal. So if we're gonna tip the valet, we want to know about it ahead of time.
Yeah, and parking, the valet parking is free. I think they just encourage the tipping. So,
well, sure, definitely,
yeah. And they were very, very nice and helped us get to our room and everything.
Yeah, and they do all the standard hotel things like whisk away all your luggage on the cart and all of those things. But in any case, be planning on probably using the valet service to get your car to the parking garage, maybe lucking out and finding an accessible spot out in front of the hotel. And if you do park out front, you will, on approach to the hotel, you will see a very large set of steps in front of the hotel. And just know that the accessible entrance is kind of hidden. Just look to the left of those stairs.
Right. There was a little tunnel right next to the steps that you could go in very easily, and the elevator's right there.
Yeah. And that way you avoid the big staircase out front, and they have automatic doors and all the things that you need with your little kiddos. Okay. Our second category that we're going to review is check-in. Once you get in the door, you have to check in. I would say that the lobby of the French Lick Resort Hotel is very ornate.
Very ornate.
Ornate usually equals very shiny and busy patterns, that kind of thing. We will, this is one of the areas that we will have a picture of on our website. Again, so you can follow along and kind of know what to expect. The lighting is dim, although, you know, things are very shiny. It's good that the lighting is kind of lower. There's actually not much natural light in there. So, the colors are also somewhat neutral, even though it's kind of busy patterns are everywhere, and you can expect busy patterns on the floor, on the walls, on the ceiling. It's all very beautiful, but it's all very ornate. So if you have someone who has trouble transitioning in and out, or has difficulty with background noise, you can expect a lot of the noises in the lobby to be bouncing off because of all the hard surfaces in there. Or if you have someone who has trouble with busy visual spaces, you might want to verbally prepare them to enter this area. Wear earmuffs, headphones, visors, whatever your strategies are for kind of reducing stimulation as you walk in the door.
And when we got there, there was a piano player playing in the lobby, and that is not all the time that that's going on. So you may want to talk to the front desk before you go and find the hours that that's happening, if you feel like that might be an issue for your family, and maybe plan on arriving before or after that.
Yeah, the piano player was lovely. Very, you know, they were playing soothing music, like you would find in a department store or another hotel, but again, with all the hard surfaces, it was just kind of one other layer of background noise that was bouncing around, if you have someone who's sensitive to that.
Another thing to note about the lobby is there is a lot of seating available. It seems to be a general congregation space, as a, you know, instead of just being a check-in space. So if you are there with your significant other or with another family, you could split up a little bit and have one person stand in line to do the actual check-in and another person kind of corralling the other kids in one of those little seating spaces. There were all kinds of different sofas and chairs with different surfaces, so you could find what worked best for your family.
Are your children struggling in school? Do you really know why? At LearningRx, we specialize in turning guesswork into knowledge and frustration into success. Call LearningRx today to schedule an affordable cognitive skills test. Discover how LearningRx can help make learning easier. Get tested. Know why. LearningRx.
Save $100 on a cognitive skills test at LearningRx by calling 423-3713 and using the promo code PODCAST. Call 423-3713, promo code PODCAST.
The next category we'll cover is transition spaces. And in transition spaces, we are counting all the in-between spaces like hallways, floors, stairwells, elevators, and shuttles. One of the interesting things for us as we do more of this, I think, is going to be to discover and kind of unwrap some of these older buildings that are not new construction. Obviously have a lot of, you know, they redo all of the surfaces and whatnot in phases. So as you go through them, you're going to find different coverings and types of floorings and all of that, some of which is going to be newer and some is going to be older. Overall, you're still going to see a lot of the older materials throughout the space. A lot of the stairwells are marble, but they have treads on them. And sometimes in the lower level of the hotel, you'll find carpeted stairs. But what's nice about their carpeted stairs is the carpet on the actual stair is always going to be in a different color, which is great for just an extra visual recognition reminder. And we discussed the kind of the busy tile in the lobby. Other than the lobby, everywhere else you will find the busy hotel carpet. I love this hotel carpet. Very visually busy.
Very visually busy. But one thing I did notice about it was that it was, like hotel carpet is, kind of in a pattern.
It reminds me of grandma's curtains.
Yes. So it transitions from one busy pattern to another busy pattern. So if you had a kid that needed to be a little more systematic in their approach to things, you could count out how many squares of carpet, big carpet it was, to the room or back to the lobby to help give them something that was a distraction and made kind of all that busyness not so overwhelming to them.
Right. Because it is consistent carpet throughout the hotel,
yes,
with the exception of, like we mentioned before, what's on the actual stairs themselves.
Right.
Which is different, and it's a solid color, which is good. Okay, once you get out of the ornateness of the lobby, I would say the rest of the place is a lot more subdued, visually. We mentioned that there's dim lighting in the lobby. When you transition to a hallway, probably on the way to your room, on the way to our room, there were much brighter lights in those hallways with some of what looked like fluorescent lighting, although I will say some kids are sensitive to that. But it was not coming from the ceiling. There were kind of sconces on the side, but there was a definite lighting change, I would say, coming, you know, from the lobby and some of the passes to the hallways where you're actually traveling to your room. But there were very wide and open spaces in the hallways.
Yeah, very easy to navigate.
Yeah, lots of extra space for those who need to move around or if you have extra baggage.
Absolutely.
Wheelchairs and whatnot.
And it might be if you have a kid that needs those movement, that movement stuff, then ask for a room that's farther away so that you can travel those nice long hallways and get those movement experiences.
Right. Now, if you go back to the map, some of the areas of the resort are far enough away that you're going to need to take an outdoor shuttle to them. And we're going to cover some of those in a little bit. But just to talk about the shuttle piece real quick, they do have one shuttle that is accessible, but plan on some extra time to arrange that. If you just walk back out front of the hotel to where the valet service was when we did our check-in process, you may not catch the right one. So just make sure that you check with the front desk staff when you're checking in if you know that you're going to need that accessible shuttle at a certain time. They also had, at one point, we landed in an SUV, which wasn't really, you know, the larger shuttle bus thing that we had ridden around on. But the driver of the SUV, who was the supervisor of all the shuttle people, I think mentioned that they, you know, had been known to put kids' wheelchairs in the back of the SUV that fit very nicely. So riding around in the SUV might be another option if you need it.
Absolutely.
If you need to ask for that.
And the concierge was really gracious about helping us get all that arranged.
Very, very. there was one hallway. It was on the lower level, was it not?
Yes, it was down on the lower level. We found it when we went downstairs. If you look at your map and go towards the spa, which is on the main floor, but right below that is the bowling alley and arcade. And to get there on the main floor is another nice wide hallway, which we took to where the spa was and took the elevator downstairs. And then to get back, we stayed down on the lower level, and that's where we encountered the rocky hallway, should we call it?
So there are a lot of sharp rocks in this hallway. If you have, you know, a movement seeker and a climber that you want to keep safe, it might be a good idea to come out of the arcade and go straight up one level via stairs or elevator to get back to the nice, cushy hotel hallway. And it might be, they did have a bar. You know, you could potentially take a wheelchair through there.
Absolutely.
As well. But it was a little narrow.
And the ceilings were a little low.
Ceilings were low, very sharp. So if just have a heads up on that one as you're coming out of the arcade. If you don't want to deal with all that, then just go up one level and you'll be fine.
So the next part that we want to talk about, the next category is the rooms and bathrooms. Kara and I stayed in a standard room at French Lick Resort, so it had two queen beds in it and a bathroom. It was not considered one of the accessible rooms, so we did ask to take a look at some of those rooms also.
And again, because this is more of a, in the category of a historical hotel, you've got to realize that over the years they have put in accessible room and bathroom spaces where they can as far as staying accommodations. And those are going to be found kind of throughout the hotel, and there are several different formats of those. So we'll get back to that in a minute. But our room, which was, again, one of the non-accessible rooms, was fairly small, and even though it had two beds, there wouldn't be too much space for a family to spread out. So kind of be aware, even if you don't have much baggage or a wheelchair or anything like that, just try to figure out how to get a bigger room. And the bathroom that we had did not have a tub, when most families are going to want a tub.
Right.
So they do have tubs. You just probably need to
ask
specifically.
For that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we met Mary at the front desk, and she was very helpful in showing us an accessible room and talking about some of the options that they have. Most of the options for the accessible rooms will have one bed. So if you have, you know, several siblings, you might want to make plans for them to bring their sleeping bags and kind of camp out. Or Mary said they do have some suites with a pull-out bed. So,
and I think she also said that they had some rooms that maybe were adjoining to where you could get the rooms next to each other and then kind of create a suite if
right.
you needed to.
Right, exactly. Some of the accessible rooms had bathtubs. If you preferred to have a bathtub, you can ask about that. Other styles of bathroom were the shower stall. One had a lip, mm-hmm. but apparently they had some rooms where you could roll right in if that was your preference. All the shower stalls either had a fold-down bench or they could supply a bath chair, and they all had handheld showers and grab bars, bars around the toilets, and a pull-under sink. So you've got all your standard things. I think it's more picking the layout of the room that you want as far as accessible style, because, again, those are kind of spread out through the hotel and depending on how much room you need for extra people in there.
Absolutely. And I think they also said that they're spread out price point-wise, so you will not be on the hook for the most expensive room in the hotel because you need those accessible features. They've got them kind of at all levels of their price points.
Mm-hmm. And just as a note, I think all their accessible rooms are placed on the second floor or higher. So, again, prepare for a little bit longer of a haul getting in and out with luggage and or if you're leaving for some off-campus activities. You're just going to have a farther way to travel to get to the front door, to the shuttle, and whatnot. There are also no refrigerators or microwaves in the rooms, but if there's a medical reason for you to have one, if you need to refrigerate medication or if you need to have your food at a certain temperature, there will be no charge for that, according to what Mary said.
I think otherwise it was $10 a day. So if you want to have a refrigerator in your room, the cost was pretty minimal.
Right. And if you needed a room with more quiet, call ahead and ask to be placed away from some of the common areas. Our room was fairly close to some common thoroughfares. And there was some noise, you know, in the night, which is not a surprise. Again, older hotel, they would have difficulty controlling kind of, you know, you can only knock down so many walls and make them thicker to buffer out the noise. So we wouldn't expect that. But if you needed somewhere quieter, there seemed to be lots of, you know, more out of the way places than the room that we had. And you just have to ask for a room that was a little bit farther away.
I think the further from the lobby you are, the quieter it's going to be
right
for you.
And the, you know, the popular areas like the pool and whatnot. Now, all of the common area bathrooms, meaning the ones that were outside of the personal hotel rooms, all of those were fully accessible. I thought they did an outstanding job. You know, some of that is required by law, but again, well, all of it would be for a common bathroom according to the Americans for Disabilities Act. But again, with an older building, you would have, you know, some places that would be phasing that in over time, and I felt like they were complete.
I agree
with that project.
And easy to find. There were lots of them also.
There were lots of them. They all had very wide doorways coming off of wide hallways. So, you know, whether you have walking kids or kids in wheelchairs, they, you know, easy to get in and out. And once you got in there, they all had the pull under sinks, the soap that's a little bit lower and easier to reach, switches, dryers, all of that. In addition to your basic accommodation of having a wheelchair accessible stall. So the only thing about the common area bathrooms were I didn't see any doors that were automatic doors for that. But, I think that's pretty standard.
OK, so let's get down to the what do we do now that we're at the hotel and ready to go. French Lick is really well equipped for families. They have a ton of activities. They do have a pool. They had an indoor pool and an outdoor pool. Obviously, the outdoor pool was closed because we were there in the winter.
Freezing.
But the hot tub, which was outside, was open. So that,
I don't know if small people could get in that, though. I didn't notice a sign.
I didn't notice a sign either. I did see some younger kids in there playing, but I don't know that anybody was supervising it at 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
So they have a pool. They also have horseback and pony rides available. They've got biking and hiking trails. They have an amazing kids program that would allow you to drop off your child and have some parent time if you want it.
Kids Fest. We'll get back to that in a few minutes.
They've got a playground that looked fairly accessible that we'll talk about in just a little bit.
So we're going to talk about Kids Fest, which is basically the kids drop off service.
It's kind of like day camp.
Yes. They have camp counselor type people who do indoor, outdoor activities, depending on the season and time of year. We're not going to talk a whole lot about prices because prices will always change. So we're going to leave that off our recording here. Just know that like any, you know, camp or babysitting service, you may pay a pretty minimal fee to drop off your kid for a certain number of hours. Depending on the time of day, sometimes they would offer snacks or food kind of included if, you know, you're there over dinner time or snack time. And I did ask about if a child had special dietary needs, if the parent could, you know, bring their own, say, gluten-free snack or whatnot. And they said that would be fine, whatever you need. So
they seemed very accommodating.
Yes. So the Kids Fest, when we were there on a weekend. So on your map, you will see a Kids Fest building that's kind of out in the middle. Is that on the map?
I think that it is listed as AA on the map. So I saw the shape of the building. It just didn't say Kids Fest next to it.
Okay.
So if you look at AA, that is where the Kids Fest building is.
And during the week, during the colder months or whatever, they would have the Kids Fest activities in the Kids Fest building, which is AA.
Which is AA. And you'll see it when you pull into the hotel. You'll see it on your right-hand side as you're pulling into the hotel.
It says Kids Fest on the side, real big, real colorful.
Yes.
Can't miss it. But on the weekends, at least at this time of year, they were housing Kids Fest in
the Sports Center.
The Sports Center, which is a little bit farther away past the parking garage. So when we left our room in search of some Kids Fest folks, we took the shuttle to the Sports Center because it was that far away from our room. We met Alex, who was very helpful. Shout out to Alex.
Shout out to Alex.
from the Kids Fest staff. So when you walk in the Sports Center, if that's where the Kids Fest is when you're there, that's a large Sports Center. Basically, it's a lot of tennis courts. There were some basketball goals there. Just think your basic kind of larger sports arena. And they had corralled part of that off with different flooring and inflatables and games and such. So we're going to walk you through that.
When you first walk into the sports center, though, you are walking into the golf shop.
True.
So you may want to prepare your children if you need to. That's what you're walking into. It's just part of the transition space to get into the Kids Fest area.
But that's a good point. Lots of things to grab.
Yes.
In the pro shop.
And possible breakable things.
Right. But it's not too far to get into the door of the sports center. And again, they had a little bit of family-friendly fencing, you know, just the metal kind of waist-high stuff. To keep the kids who were checked into to Kids Fest in that zone and not running, you know, throughout the entire sports complex. So one of the first things that you see when you walk in Kids Fest, they had a big inflatable screen. They might show movies on in the summertime outside, I bet. They had one of the Kinect Just Dance games on. So that's a good one, you know, for motor planning and activity. You can plan on your kids being active when you drop them off at Kids Fest.
Absolutely. So some other things you can do inside that Kids Fest area in the sports center is the inflatables. They had three or four of them available. They were all pretty big sized, but they were the obstacle course kind that have the bolsters that you have to bump through or the wall that you have to climb with the big slide. They also had a snowball fight set up, which was two inflatable walls. I say that with quotes around it.
Igloos. They can look like igloos.
Yes. And then
you can hide behind them.
Some soft
puffy snowballs.
Puffy snowballs that the kids could throw at each other. And when we were there, the kids were doing that and having a really good time.
Yeah, they were getting a lot of movement. And of course, as an OT, I'm a huge fan of anything seasonal like that gives, you know, kind of orientation to time of year. They had other active games in addition to some of the video games that they had offered there, like headbands you guys may be familiar with. That's really great for social engagement. You basically wear a symbol or an animal or something on your forehead, and other people are trying to guess, or you're trying to have other people guess what you are. I said that backwards. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a guessing game. Apples to apples, the memory game, and a little fine motor game. It was kind of like the you flick a piece of paper into a football goal kind of a thing. But that kind of, you know, Alex really said, oh, my supervisor came up with this, which kind of showed us that, you know, they are thinking about programming. They're planning the games. It's not just a random assortment necessarily of things that are set out, but they're really thinking about what your kids are doing when you drop them off there.
Absolutely.
Another
thing you see when you walk in is a schedule.
Yes.
They had on a big poster board kind of the schedule of events, so that they really are taking the time to make it feel not just like a babysitting service. They really have it structured so that kids can have a good time if they need the structure. And if they don't want the structure, they've got all the other play opportunities for them.
Right. And they also had video games with little pod chairs that kind of rocked back and forth. They gave a little bit of movement. So, you know, we always have preference for active activities that provide movement or social engagement. But sometimes kids, if they're going to be dropped off somewhere unfamiliar like that, are just going to want to veg out with a video game. So they have those available too. So the Kids Fest building that houses the activities during the week, we got to take a look at that too. What'd you think?
I thought it was great. I thought it was well set up. It had lots of room for mobility. When you walk in, it's got lots of natural light available, and they had a pretty well-defined sign-in and sign-out procedure so that you as a parent could feel good about leaving your kid there and knowing that you would be the only one that would be picking them up.
Mm-hmm. It was a very inviting environment. Mm-hmm. Lots of bright colors, but the bright colors were tempered with some brick interior walls that really had a nice neutral complement to all the colors, so it wasn't a completely visually overstimulating environment. Again, here in this area, we found some nice activities like spin art. I'm a fan of that one for anybody who likes to look at things that spin. It's a good way to get them actively painting. They had a giant Kinect 4, if you can imagine that. So lots of large movement going on there. Coloring, video games.
Puzzles.
Yeah.
They also had a big dress-up area, mm-hmm, with a big mirror with the big lights. and everything was well categorized so that you could find what you wanted to be able to dress up in.
Yes. It was a very neat and orderly environment where they could get out, you know, certain activities, but those activities could be put away and it wasn't a completely cluttered environment.
And there were also video games, video game consoles in there with the same rocking pod chairs available.
Mm-hmm. So the bathrooms in this space, they had adequate space, I think, for small wheelchair maneuverability. My only comment probably in this space was they mentioned it was a converted golf clubhouse, and they left the artificial turf on the floor as kind of a carpeting. But if you have anybody who's kind of sensitive to that scratchy texture and you think that maybe there's some circle time going on that day, you might want to just take your own blanket for them to sit on during circle time activities that's in a texture that they like.
So Kids Fest is designed for children 6 and older. 6 to 12 is what the brochure told us. It doesn't mean that younger children can't go, but an adult would have to stay with them if they're under the age of 6. When we were there, we were told by Alex that they have had some older children with special needs come to Kids Fest, and they have welcomed them with open arms and have been able to accommodate what they need also.
And we really got a feeling of the kind of camp counselor-ish people that we met there, that they really had a passion for kids. You know, whether or not they have any special training, like Alex was a professional clown, which is kind of cool. You know, that always like expresses a certain joyfulness for working with people. And I got the impression that if you, you know, told them something special about your child and said, can you keep an eye on this and will you watch over this person a little bit extra, that they would be more than willing to accommodate that.
I totally agree.
Another indoor outdoor option is the pool. Obviously, we saw the indoor version of the pool,
which was pretty busy.
Yes, and I would say it's a pretty standard pool.
I agree.
There was a wheelchair lift mm-hmm. there if you need it. But also, as far as, you know, kind of standard for families, there was the three-step, and they were wide-step entry. So kids can probably sit and play there a little bit in shallow water if they need a break or if that's just kind of where they are.
Absolutely. And, you know, just remember with an indoor pool, you've got the acoustics. It's very echoey.
Yeah. Probably not much to do about that for any indoor pool.
Right.
But it is true. Be prepared for that. We also saw the playground is outside.
Yes.
We looked at it through the window because it was so snowy.
We got a little closer when we were looking from the Kids Fest building, but we, you know, everything was covered with snow. So it was a little hard to analyze everything that was in there.
Yeah. On the playground on your map will be very near the Kids Fest building, right outside of it, in fact. Good playground, though.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to find a good playground anymore. But if you have a movement seeker, there were some good, safe options for that. There were some sling swings, which is by sling swing, I mean just kind of the standard swing.
Toddler kind of swing.
And then there were, there were baby toddler swings, mm-hmm. the kind that have the four holes in the bottom, kind of if you have somebody who needs a little bit more support for sitting on a swing. But for the movement seekers, there were monkey bars, there was the little rock climbing thing, one of those kind of unstable moving bridges, a few slides. So you can get out there and do some hanging if
Absolutely.
You need to.
And the playground was fenced in, so you could get in there and, you know, let your child move a little bit without fear of them running too far away.
Right. It was the flooring of the playground out there. We had to ask because we couldn't see it. We just saw snow. But it is mulch out there. So the gate's kind of narrow, and there were some Pentagon-shaped picnic tables. You know, one observation would be it would be kind of difficult to pull up a child in a wheelchair with the way that the tables were shaped. You couldn't quite get under it. But they assured us that you could get down the path and into the playground without a problem. So just be aware of that. We also made a trip with Nina in the SUV over to the West Baden side, which is where the stables are housed. We were told by the concierge that the stables were not to be missed, and she was right.
Absolutely. They were beautiful.
Yeah, excellent, very clean. They have 35 horses out there. We met Matt, who looks like a pretty young guy, but he said he had about 25 years experience with horses there. And he and his staff were pretty well-trained folks with enough horse knowledge to know, you know, maybe when do we need to add a pair of stirrups or a different saddle underneath a child who needs some extra balance support and whatnot.
They also told us that I think 80% of the people that come to the stables for the rides have never been on a horse before. So they have got very gentle horses, very tolerant horses. And we met one of them. I think his name was Bubba.
Right.
And he was, as promised, very gentle and sweet.
Yes. And they do have a concrete mounting platform. It's one step to get up. Matt says that they would invite parents up onto the platform to kind of help place a child who was more movement restricted onto the horse. And then they would kind of take over to get them all the way on there. Let's see, 8 years old and up can go on the trail rides. They have all different lengths, but the 45-minute one is the one he said was kind of rated for everyone, mm-hmm. if you want to do this as a family. But they will also do the pony rides in weather that's 35 degrees and above. We took a picture of the barn where you would have your pony ride. Beautiful indoor arena, so plenty of space. Even if it's freezing outside like it was when we were there, they would be there and available for pony rides.
And they do have some animals outside that are available to look at. It's not quite a petting zoo, but they had some goats outside that you could look at and walk around a little bit if you needed to.
Yes. In this particular spot, it just has a gorgeous view. So it's a very naturally calming kind of spot for kids, I think. So go check out the stables. It's a great way to get some extra movement in. And just, you know, we have a whole nother episode about the movement of a horse and all the good things that that can do for kids.
And if your child is a child that already does hippotherapy as part of their daily activities in their home environment, this is a nice way to include something familiar when you're staying at French Lick.
Exactly. There are hiking and biking trails available. And I believe we were told that the bike rental is somewhere near the Kids Fest building.
Yes.
And that they have all sorts of options.
Yes.
So many options. They were unfamiliar words to me, but it's something to do with the bikes for multiple people, or they have the little riding carts that you can hitch to the back of a bike for people who are not bike riders.
Yes.
But mountain bike trails and a regular flat walking trail, I think that goes, like a mile, maybe over to West Baden. Mm-hmm. So you have some all-terrain options and you have some flat options.
Yes.
For walking and hiking and biking, and that's good. Let's go back inside for a little bit. They do have a fitness room. The fitness room is for people 18 and over, so don't count on using this area for any sort of heavy work.
Yes.
I think that's something that varies according to, you know, where you stay, whether how young people can get into some sort of fitness room area. But in this particular place, 18 and over, adults only. Also the arcade.
Yeah. The arcade is, if you're looking at your map, is right below the spa wing. It's over to the left-hand side if you're looking down at your map. And the arcade, had a couple different things. It had the arcade area. It also had a bowling alley and it had an air hockey table and a couple pool tables.
Mm-hmm. In the actual arcade area with all the games and the pool tables and there was a foosball table and there was an air hockey table, always good for heavy work and when you need to expend some energy. All of that would be pretty good for seekers, but overall as an arcade, I didn't find it very overwhelming.
No.
There was carpet on the floor to absorb some of the sounds. The games were nice and spread out. Some of them were more active games like Guitar Hero versus just kind of the stair and joystick kind of games.
Yes.
Right next to the arcade, there was a little pizza joint there.
Yes.
Kind of small and maybe harder to navigate.
I think it was all stools inside the actual pizza joint, so it would be difficult to find seating in there. However, there were tables right outside of it.
Yeah. We're going to talk about dining as a separate issue, but just as a geographical note, that pizza joint is kind of right in this area. And there was also a nice little bowling alley there.
Six lanes.
There was an entrance ramp to get up to the bowling alley itself. Or if you don't want to use the ramp, there was just a one step up there. So that was good. And they do have one of those little ball ramps for someone who can't lift and roll the ball. And we have a picture of that, of the bowling alley. sorry, and the arcade. We have pictures of both. The next area we'll talk about is dining. I liked that my first hot tip is that all the wait times for the restaurants were on a computer screen at the front checkout desk. I noticed that when we came in. Mm-hmm. So if you have someone who has trouble waiting, just look and make sure that of what your wait time is, because the staff told us that they are actually booked almost every weekend of the year at 100% capacity. So especially if you're there on a weekend, you want to check your wait times because it could be busy during eating times. There were several casual eating places. I would say our favorite layout for active kids and kids that might be in a wheelchair was the Grand Colonnade.
Right? I agree.
Yeah. It's very open. You'll notice it was also buffet style, so you can see the food that you're eating. The room was, it had blue walls, very soothing colors there. If you go to the breakfast buffet, there's going to be lots and lots of natural light because there were huge, huge windows. So there was lots of space, even if it was crowded, like it kind of was at the breakfast buffet, you still have space to spread out a little bit. And they did have some signage indicating, you know, two tables. They had a little wheelchair sign because they had even more extra space around two tables that were kind of in the middle. So,
and the buffet is the same on both sides. So that's a good thing to know when you go there, that where it meets in the middle, you know, it's the same on both sides. So you don't need to go through the whole line to see what's available.
Right. It is a situation where you have to pay ahead of time. So plan to go to the desk first. And I noticed when we were finishing up breakfast, there was not a long line, but there was a line. So
yes. And the breakfast buffet was 12 and under was free. So
yes,
that is good to know. That I think it was maybe $11 or $12 when we were there for an adult to eat the buffet, but pretty reasonable for a family to be able to have a really good breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Good selection, healthy selection. And another space note, there were really, really large fancy chandeliers in this area, but I felt like they were up high enough that they weren't too overstimulating.
No.
You know. So that was good. Another option, and we do have a picture of the Grand Colonnade and what that looks like on the inside, so you can see that. Another option, if you need kind of a more enclosed space, is right outside the power plant bar. And I'll say inside the joint itself, the power plant bar, was pretty loud. It wasn't a sports bar, but kind of, you know, that kind of casual eating atmosphere. It's pretty loud inside, but just outside of the door, the entrance door, we saw some families that were eating in a quiet little space that has kind of high-backed booths, and it's kind of, zoned off. They have the booths placed so that it kind of made it like eating in your own little space, and we have a picture of that, too. So that was another pick of ours. The other places, like the steakhouse, was fancier. And we already talked about the pizza joint a little bit, mm-hmm. which was maybe just generally smaller and harder to move around. So if you want a lot of space or if you want a quiet space, check out the Grand Colonnade or the Power Plant Bar.
And the other thing with the pizza place is we did see people getting whole pizzas. So you could go and get a whole pizza and take it back to your room.
Exactly.
And eat it there if you felt like just being out in a crowd was not going to work for your family for dinner.
Sure. Also, over back by the pool area, if you have a child that's pretty sporty, has a special interest in sports, there's another little casual dining place by the pool where you can catch a snack.
Absolutely.
Or some food.
There was a place right in the lobby area that is called Scoops, I believe, but they had ice cream and they had Starbucks coffee beverages, and you could go in there and get a little snack. And then if you wanted to go outside to the big front porch, which is one of the areas that we're going to be talking about shortly.
Yeah. If you go ahead of time, though, if you have anyone with fast hands. I mean, that's kind of embedded in the little gift shop. So lots of things to handle there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the next thing we'd like to talk about are just what we're calling the quiet zones at French Lick. These are just places where if you need space to escape with your child because they need a little more space for themselves, or you need a quieter environment, these are places that you can access within the hotel itself.
So at the entrance of the hotel, they have a very large front porch. It's not exactly wrapping around the front, but it's a very large porch on the front of the place. It has many, many rocking chairs.
Many rocking chairs.
Just like the Cracker Barrel. So go out there as needed for rocking breaks during the day, especially during warmer weather than when we were there, or maybe to look at the stars before bedtime. And we also happened upon a business center. Is that on our map?
The business center is on the map.
Should be on the map.
Let me see what letters.
Lauren wrestles the map.
Sorry. It folded on its own. Let's see. The business center is in... Oh, it is not quite on the map. It's over where it says conference concierge. It's over by the conference and event center. So that doesn't even have a letter, but it's to the... Right when you're looking at the map, it says Conference and Event Center, and the Business Center is right there. It is pretty close to the Grand Colonnade restaurant.
Okay. Obviously, a business center is going to require a heavy amount of supervision. However, here's why we thought of the business center as one of our quiet zones. Your wireless access was spot on inside the hotel. Mine was spotty, I think. So if you have someone who's taken their personal device with them, who's trying to use that in the room and isn't, you know, maybe the service is a little bit in and out, or maybe there's too many siblings in the room and you just need kind of a quiet place to go one-on-one with a parent for a little bit. The business center is kind of off the beaten path, and it's a little quiet getaway where someone can do some computer games if you take your own headphones because there are no speakers. You know, you could do some quiet drawing games or PBS Kids on the computer for a while. Plus, they have those spinning office chairs. And again, with a high level of parent guidance, you know, a lot of kids can get a quick dose of movement off of those spinning office chairs to get some calming movement input. So that was another one of our getaway quiet zones. Okay, really quickly, we would like to talk about some off-campus activities that are really nearby. Often when you stay at a particular hotel or resort, you will hear good things about some outlying activities. And again, our focus here is not to necessarily tell you everything under the sun that's within a few miles of French Lick Resort to do, but to pick out a few particular activities where if you have a child who has a high, you know, is a movement seeker and just really kind of needs to get off and away for a little bit, here are your places to go. Right on the corner of the property, they actually have a train. And many of our little people out there who have a high level of interest in trains may enjoy taking a train ride.
It's the Indiana Railway Museum is right there.
It's on the corner of their property. And they do have special events throughout the year, like the Polar Express and stuff. We were told to call now, like in February, if you want to get in that train at Christmas time. But anyway, throughout the year, they have kind of regular train rides. And even though it sounded like it was a little bit longer, the staff really told us that, you know, they knew some little people with autism who had been on the train and you know, were so enthralled by the train itself, they were able to make it through the longer ride. So, and of course, the whole the platform and everything would be wheelchair accessible. So
another place that was fairly close to the resort, maybe even a shuttle ride away because it is part of what's included in some of the Kids Fest packaging, is a place called Shots. And they have laser tag and mini golf and some other activities available that might be good if you are traveling with some older kids that would be into some of those things.
Or just another movement option.
Absolutely.
Dive away from the paintball for a while.
And then the last thing that seems to be the other big draw to French Lick is there's a water park up on the hill. And you can get a day pass to the water park. We did walk in just to take a look at it, and it is a huge facility with a variety of water slides and water activities, with typical indoor pool acoustics to keep in mind. But it might be another thing to just put on your list while you're staying at French Lick. So we feel like we have toured French Lick at this point and been able to give our listeners a review that will enable you to have an action plan for your visit. And we really hope you visit because both Karen and I had a great time at this resort and got a really good feeling from everybody that works there that this is a resort that will welcome families.
Yes. And even though we didn't have any special needs kids with us, you know, we were asking enough questions and probing around enough and very vocal about what it was that we were trying to provide for families. And the staff really kind of fell on top of themselves to help us get that information. And I think whenever you have that kind of backing and support, you can know and be assured that when you check in, you know, they'll do the same for you, and that it's something that they're interested in and interested in developing.
Absolutely.
So we had a great time. We hope that if you plan to visit during warmer months, maybe call them up right now, and make sure that you leave us some comments on the website. Again, we would like to hear from you as far as what you thought about this particular podcast and the categories that we covered, whether or not it actually helped you plan your stay and what you'd like to see us do next. Where should we go?
Where in the world are Kara and Lauren?
Who knows? They'll find out.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only and should not be construed as therapeutic or medical advice, as your particular situation will vary. If you have concerns, please contact your local healthcare professional. For more information and additional episodes, visit Kara and Lauren online at developingcourage.com. And thanks for listening.